The Word of God is the foundation for successful living. Get the Word of God in you and be transformed by the power-packed teaching from the Senior Pastor, Faith Tabernacle, Ota, Dr. David Oyedepo.
Commanding prosperity in austerity. We had part 1 and 2 the last Sunday, but 1, and now we're going into part 3. Commanding prosperity in austerity. Part 3. That is, commanding spiritual supplies in scarcity. That is, feeding fat in famine. That is, having more than enough and to spare in spite of the economic situations. Having more than enough and to share in spite of the economic depression. That's the focus of our series of teachings during this time. Well, I'm sure you'll also be glad to have this good news before I continue. Yesterday, our church in Togo was dedicated. We had at the dedication service 5,193 people in attendance. And we had 412 people give their lives to Christ. Come on, give Jesus a big, big hand. I was also in four other nations in the course of the week. In Cameroon, we had 4,553 at the Encounter Night Service. And 192 gave their lives to Christ. Come on, give Jesus a big, big hand. In Sierra Leone, we had 8,507 in attendance. And we had 428 gave their lives to Christ. You are going to like this. In Burkina Faso, Ouagadougou, we had 4,286 in the service. And we had 312 that gave their lives to Christ. And then we had in Guinea-Conakry, 992 people in attendance. And 230 people gave their lives to Christ. Oh, it was a resurrection week. Everything was opening everywhere. Give Jesus a big, big hand of praise. Amen. I also have this good news for you. There is a future for Nigeria. In Genesis chapter 18, verse 20 to 33, God said to Abraham, if I find 10 righteous men in the city, I will spare the city. For the sake of the multitudes of the righteous that dwell in this land, because the scriptures cannot be broken, because of the presence of the righteous in the nation of Nigeria, in spite of this economic holocaust, God will spare the nation. Amen. Can I hear your loudest amen? Amen? Genesis 18 verse 26. Peradventure there are 50 righteous men in the city. Would you not spare? He said, if I find 50 righteous men in the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. God is going to spare all of this nation for the sake of the righteous. Amen. You can't tell how many places of worship are in going on in the country today, where there are thousands and I think millions of men and women who have never bowed their knees to Baal. Men who would rather die for God than bow to the devil. Men who are ready for heaven. Who carry the righteousness of God upon their lives for the sake, because they, I am the Lord, I change not. for the sake of the righteous in the land, Nigeria will not go down. Everyone that believes, let me hear your loudest amen. For the sake of the righteous in the land, Nigeria will not go down. Verse 28. He said, peradventure, you have only 45. Would you say, because they are not up to 50, you will not spare? He said, if I find 45 there, I will not destroy it. God will not destroy Nigeria. Every plan of the devil to destroy Nigeria will never work. Never mind the economy situation, because of the prophets that are in the land. Because prophets are God's agents of supernatural breakthroughs. And there are many prophets in this land who are prophets indeed, ordained of God to speak up the destiny of the nation. They stand there like Elisha. Because of the things they carry, Nigeria will never be destroyed. Isn't that good news for someone here? Come on, give Jesus a big hand. Verse 29, if I find 40, I will spare. Verse 30, if there are only 30, I will spare. Verse 31, if I find 20, I will spare. Verse 32, if I find 10, I will spare. God said, if I can find a righteous man in that city, I will spare. Because of the severals in Nigeria, Nigeria will never go down. Does that make good news to anyone here? Amen. Come on, give the Lord a big hand for the breakthrough in Nigeria, the breakthrough of the Nigerian nation. Amen. The economy of this nation is coming supernaturally alive. Industries will come back alive in Nigeria. Education in Nigeria will take a new turn positively. At this time of global darkness, God, because of the presence of his light in the land, will cause a new beginning. Let me hear your loudest amen. Let me hear your loudest amen. Why? God said, never again will I smite every living thing as I have done. Genesis 8:21. So there is no more flood of Noah that will flood away everybody. Wherever God's people are, we'll be exempted. That's what God said. I will spare. I'm not going to smite every living thing again as I have done. But from henceforth, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and summer and winter, and day and night. So there will be harvest at all times. There will be farming for some people, but there will be harvest for others. Can I hear your loudest amen? That's why you are hearing testimonies of new houses, testimonies of millions, testimonies of new inventions. Why others are dying and planning suicide? Others are celebrating as if they don't know what's happening, as if they are not in the same country. That is God speaking. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. There is no holocaust on the earth that will affect everybody. God has spoken. It will never happen. There is no situation that will clear every human being like the flood of Noah. It will never happen. In the course of the heat, some will be growing fatter and fatter and fatter. Can I hear your loudest amen? That's good news from heaven. That's good news from heaven. Give the Lord a big hand of praise. Good news number three. It's never late to be right. The thief on the right side at Calvary made it to paradise at his dying minute. Jesus, remember me when you get to the kingdom. At the dying moment, he got it right. Maybe you have been off the covenant frequency up till now. Now the heat is gathering momentum. It is never late to reconnect. Can I hear your amen? It's never late to reconnect. The prodigal son came down to his lowest ebb. The first one I was saying is in Luke 23. And you start from verse 33 downwards. And the thief on the right side was mocking Jesus. If you are the son of God, come down. The one on the right side said, but we are here because we committed offense. This man did no evil. Are you not afraid of God? He said, Jesus, please, when you get to your kingdom, remember me. And Jesus said, it's not late. I connect you back. The one who killed, who armed robbery, Jesus gave it to him at the last minute. Maybe you have been ignoring the place of the covenant in your pursuit, and you have been using strength and energy to get results. The strength of men are beginning to fail them, but it's never late for you to reconnect. Now, Luke chapter 15, we talked about the prodigal son. He was at his lowest ebb, and Jesus said, he came to himself and said, how far can I go this way? I'm about to die. I'm struggling to share food with pigs. There is plenty of food in my father's house. I'm going to go back. And the father was waiting to receive him in spite of the abuse that he had committed. The good news is never late to reconnect with the covenant channel of blessings. It's never late. You can decide that now. You are not at your dying minute. You are not sharing food with pigs yet. You can reconnect now. It's never late to be right. That's good news number three. So never think that, I've not done anything either too. This is your chance to reconnect back to source and then expect a change of story. Can I hear your loudest amen? Amen. But we are in a dilemma today. In the school of the covenant of prosperity. And what is it? What is the dilemma? There are many givers who are not spiritual. And there are many spiritual who are not givers. The givers who are not spiritual cannot enjoy the blessings of giving. Because until the earth receives your seed, your harvest is not in view. The givers who are not spiritual are giving to church, but God is not receiving it. And now, let me ask you this question. If a man stole last night and decided to give the tithe of it to God this morning, with the heaven open. Because the cause of the Lord is in the house of the thief. And no scripture cancels out another. If a man took, what makes a thief is not where you steal from. Whether you steal government money, you are a thief. You steal your father's money, you are a thief. You steal your wife's money. You thief your husband's money. So, what makes a thief is not where you are stealing from. The art of stealing is what makes a thief. Now, there is something I do, and some may not like it. When they bring me an offering and it comes to me, I always ask politely, what work do you do, sir? What work do you do, sir? So I can match what you are giving me with your work. Amen. And I have a very polite way of saying the Lord bless you. Because there is no point giving what we bring a cause. You may not hear this from general pastors. This is not a pastoral meeting. A pastoral message is give, 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 give. The church needs money. This church doesn't need money. No. It has never needed it. This church needs God to remain in the center of it, so it can keep on making supplies. That's so important. So because most givers are not spiritual, there is no proof of the efficacy of the giving covenant in their life. And then because most spiritual are not givers, and while the earth remains, seed time and harvest shall not cease, they also can never have a proof of the covenant of blessing. So the two of them remain in need. And the spiritual said, what is in giving? That man is giving, there is nothing in his life. And the giver said, that man is spiritual, there is nothing in his life. What is the need being spiritual? So the two of them become spiritually bankrupt. That's the dilemma. Now, another dilemma is this. There are many givers who are not trusting. And there are many trusting who are not givers. I believe God will do it, but they are not givers. There are those who are givers who are not conscious of their heavenly account. Who? Matthew 6 and verse 19 and 20. Every of your giving is loaded into your heavenly account. Philippians chapter 4 verse 17. I desire fruits that may abound to your account. Because they are not conscious of the reality of that heavenly account, they are not trusting. So the slightest challenge, they run helter-skelter. They run from pillar to post. They see their brother, their uncle, their friends. They borrow from everybody, including unbelievers. Some can borrow from the devil if they see him. Yet they are givers, but they are not conscious of the reality of their heavenly account. So there are many, many givers who are not spiritual. There are many givers who are not trusting. Also, we understand from scriptures that God prospers the works of your hand. There are many givers who are not workers. So the platform to receive that blessing is not there. And there are many workers who are not givers. So the blessing that makes their work have value is not there. So we have these three dilemmas in the covenant. The givers who are not spiritual, and the spiritual who are not givers. The givers who are not trusting, and the non-givers who are trusting, or the trusting who are not givers. And then you have the givers who are not workers, and you have the workers who are not givers. And so you see spiritual bankruptcy resulting into all other forms of bankruptcy. But I'm glad to tell you today, the heavens are open. Amen. I said the heavens are open. Amen. I said the heavens are open. Amen. The heavens are open. Amen. Your own heavens are open. Amen. In Malachi chapter 3 and verse 1 to 4, because the best place to begin is the beginning. He said he will sit as a refiner, and a refiner of silver, and purify the house of Levi, so they can offer unto God an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Levi be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old, as in former times. Not until then, they will be purified before their offerings can be acceptable, can be pleasant to God. So you can't join them and not suffer with them. Not all offerings are pleasant to God, but the offerings that are offered in righteousness. You can't play out your business partner and then start paying tithe on the stolen business. No, you're wasting your resources. This is not pastoral teaching, apostolic teaching. This is helping you out to fulfill God's plan in your life. Then shall they give their offerings in righteousness, and it's that time it will be pleasant in the sight of God. So not all offerings are acceptable to God. Not all the seed we sow are received in the kingdom earth. What offerings will God take? The offerings that are offered in righteousness. Malachi 3:1-4. What offerings will God take? The offerings that are offered in love. Though I part with all my goods to feed the poor and I have no charity, it profits me nothing. And I offered my body to be born and I have no charity, it profits me nothing. So the love of God is a booster of your covenant work. That charity does not mean just love. It means the love of God. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and the great commandment. 1 Corinthians 13:3. Offerings that are offered motivated by your love for God, not motivated by what comes out of it. Motivated by the love of God. What offerings will God take? Honorable offerings. Malachi chapter 1 verse 6 to 9. A son honoreth his father and a servant feareth his master. If I be your father, where is my honor? And if you be your master, where is my fear? You have the fatted calf in your flock, but you have brought to me the blind and the lame. Take that to your governor. Would they receive it from your hand? So God receives honorable offerings because he's a honorable God. Can I hear your amen? Amen. That is, you honor him to your level. As God has blessed everyone, even so let him give. Now, let me ask you this question. We have so many respectable elders in this church. How would any elder feel if I give him 1 naira at my level? You feel insulted. Okay, does Bishop think I'm a hungry man? 1 naira. He would tell the other elders, I see something to do. Please pray for me. I said, Bishop gave me 1 naira for my 77th birthday with a long letter. I said, Elder, I love you with all my heart, and this seed is from my heart to you. And then he opened it at home, 1 naira. I said, maybe he forgot. Why? Because he knows that is not my level. He knows. I can't give a domestic staff 5 naira. It will be an insult to him. Because I should be more than 5 naira at this point. I will have to look for the chain to get it. There are people who just throw things at God like an idol. I say, God, anyway, thank God in our church is an envelope, so nobody knows. This one, and he wrote behind the envelope, this is from my heart to you, my God and my Lord. The creator of the ends of the earth. You are Alpha, you are Omega. You are greater than the greatest. Everybody in the world knows I love you, but this is 1 naira for you this morning. Shout hallelujah. Not all offerings is acceptable to God, but honorable offerings. He said, take that to your governor. Will they receive it from your hand? In those days, when I give you 1 naira, you should testify. Because that's a testimony. Amen. You should be celebrating. Because if my tithe is 30 naira and I give you 1 naira, you are near God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Do you know some beggars who give them money, they look at it and say, now he's a beggar. But he looks at you, you are in your jeep. Are you on a very high jeep? Is it Homer or Hammer? You are inside that jeep and then you reach out your hand with the coin. You put it on the man. He throws it at you. Now you see, that's why many people are stranded. Even though there is no percentage rating for your seed, but you must ensure it's honorable enough for God to take. What you won't give your house help, how do you come to give it to God? Isn't that an insult? What you won't give an elder, why do you give that to God? There are many of you here who will feel very bad if you give me 5 naira, because you are more than 5 naira. You know what I'm talking about? That's ordinary man. Right? So why do you give to God what you won't give to a man? And the same you will go and buy 10 crates of Martina to drink as a drunkard, to entertain guests on the same Sunday when you gave only 2 bottles price as offering. This is so. That's why I say you have robbed me in tithes and in offerings. You came with it, but I rejected it. I threw it at you and said, carry your thing, go. Honorable offering. He said, I haven't received your offering. He said it's an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice, well-pleasing and acceptable to God. Therefore, my God. So it has to be acceptable before your God can make supplies for all your needs. If it's not acceptable, the supplies are not waiting. Somebody blessed this money already. It has to be honorable. In fact, it's more honorable not to give than to give a dishonorable offering. The Lord, this morning, I would try to settle properly. But what I've brought can't go. It won't go today. Amen? Maybe you forgot your purse at home. Let him know you forgot. In fact, don't write anything, because in case you forget to bring it, don't write anything. I said, God, you know my heart. I forgot my purse at home. And I can't attempt to give you newspaper money. I said, this is 1 naira, 2, something that I used to buy newspaper. Left over. God is too. If you have a guest in your house, do you give him leftover food? Say, come on, you have just called. Ah, how was your journey? Fine. This is the food that the children just finished eating. It remains small. Can you clear this? He will just tell you, no, I just came by. I'm not staying. I'm going somewhere. Shout hallelujah. Say with me, God is too honorable for a leftover. God is too honorable for a leftover. God is too honorable for a leftover. And then what offering will the Lord take? 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 12. If there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to what a man has and not according to what he has not. It has to be a willing offering. Come and say willing offering. Say it like willing offering. It has to be a willing offering, not a coerced and enforced offering. Not give, give, give. Otherwise, heaven will collapse. Give now. This ministry is dying. Give. We are going to get off this television. Willing offering. It comes from you. So you don't start thinking about it. Act. If I had not given that thing, I would have bought this thing now. Eh? Look, I've been looking for this thing for long. If not for that offering I dropped. Eh? This trap for all the rats in my house. See it now. I've been looking for it for long. I will have bought about 5. But the offering I gave. Praise God. So, willing offering. You know what the word says in 1 Corinthians 9, 6, 17? Is the Bible said, if I do this thing willingly, I do what? I have a reward. But if against my will, I'm only having fun. It has to be done willingly before it can be willingly acceptable to God. Willing offering. When they gave willingly in Exodus 35, the Bible said they kept giving and giving because the returns was coming and coming. Every time you give willingly, amazing returns keep coming. Moses had to announce, enough, stop giving, we are in trouble. Enough. They were doing it willingly. They were doing it willingly. That's why God is blessing people in this church. They give willingly. No special invitation to somebody to come and scrape the people. Now my ministry is in raising offering. Get ready, I'm going to erase all of you now. How many of you want to try God with 1 million? Stand up. Now, there are 50 here. I mean, what kind of wahala? What do you need that? Don't need that for anything. Now, under this apostolic ministry this morning, I'd like you to hook on. God is not a pressure loader. He's a pleasure giver. So I want you to be excited when you come to his presence. Don't carry no burden on your head. If there be first a willing mind, it is acceptable according to what a man has. That means it's not acceptable until it's coming from a willing mind. That's why when they take offering by force, people only suffer more and more because it's not acceptable. They only collected it from them by force. Somebody's preaching, God just spoke to me now to take an offering in the course of this meeting. Everybody, empty your pocket. Now, pull it out. Your purse, pour it downward. Offerings, ushers, collect them now. Now, now. The anointing is here. Amen. Somebody gave an offering of the children's school fees that the husband gave him to pay. But when he got to church, they say, empty your pocket. He followed him to the ground, go let him on. Hallelujah. Shout hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. What offering will God take? And that's number 5, cheerful offering. Cheerful. The offering you give rejoicing. 2 Corinthians 9:7. God loves a cheerful giver. Cheerful giver. Cheerful giver. Cheerful. When God becomes a burden, your seed becomes unacceptable. When giving becomes a weight, your giving is lost. God loves a cheerful giver. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly nor of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Cheerful. Cheerful. And God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. So, what you receive from God is a demonstration of God's love towards you. God loves a cheerful giver, so his best can go to the one he loves. Can I hear your amen? Amen. Cheerful giver. Joel chapter 1 verse 11 and 12. He said, all the harvest of the field is perished because joy is withered away from God's people. Joy is perished. Joy is withered away from the children of men. So we need to understand that we have, it's not every seed we give that is acceptable. No. It is the seed we give according to scriptural guidelines. That's why I say, receive, I pray thee, the law from his mouth and lay up his words in your heart. Lay up the guidelines in your heart. If you return to the Almighty God, you shall be built up. Then you shall lay up gold as dust. You put iniquity far away from your tabernacle. It's so important that your offerings are not acceptable in unrighteousness. Your offerings are not acceptable except in love. Your offerings must be honorable offerings. Your offerings must be given willingly. It must be given cheerfully. It must be given willingly, and it must be given cheerfully. It must be given willingly, and it must be given cheerfully. God is a good God. God is a good God. God is a good God. I'd like you to know that there is an anchor law in the school of supernatural supplies, and that law is what I've called the law of absolute dependency on God. That is the ruling law, the anchor law in the school of supernatural supplies. The law of absolute dependency on God. This is the law that has to be in place in the lives of many people before they can flow practically in supernatural supplies. Absolute dependency on God. The Lord said to me many years ago, you have two eyes. Can you make one to look up and one to look down? And I said, no. I tried. It didn't work. Anytime you are looking unto man, he said, never claim to be looking unto me. But they looked unto me and they were lightened and their faces were no more ashamed. Psalm 34 verse 5. They looked unto him and they were lightened and their faces were no more ashamed. The law of absolute dependency on God. You are either looking up or looking down. There is no two way about it. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence cometh my help? Your eyes is either up or down. It cannot be up and down. He said, if your eye be single, your whole body will be full of light. Matthew 6 and verse 22. The law of absolute dependency on God is the anchor law in the school of supernatural supplies. In Psalm 62 verse 5, my soul, wait thou only upon the Lord, for thy expectation is from him. Wait thou only. You know, you can't just go to the counter of your bank and say, give me my money. There is a process. There is what? You have to wait on the people on the counter to conclude the process before you can get your money. Now, I need it now. Now, I need it. They will arrest you because they don't get money now like that in the bank. There is a process. Your paper will go inside. They will check whether you are the owner of the account or not. They will check the check you brought, whether it's from a right source or not. And then you just find them going inside and outside and say, just a minute. And if you're a fraudster, they have called police to surround you from behind. They have a job to process it the same way heaven processes your drawing. Heaven has to process your drawing. You can't draw because you have an account. You draw after the processing is concluded. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for thy expectation is from him. The law of absolute dependency on God. Let me tell you how that has worked for me. Now listen, I have told the Lord, whatever you can't give me, may I never have it. And I wasn't giving him a poem. I was speaking from my heart. I wasn't trying to read out a poem. I said, God, you want to know how poetic your boy is? You know? I was speaking to him from my heart. Whatever you can't give me, may I never get. Whatever you cannot do, let it remain undone. Wherever you can't take me to, let me never get there. That's why God is doing what he's doing in my little life. The law of absolute dependency on God. That day when the Lord showed me that drama in that little room, 6th of September, 1983, I was in that little room with some of my staff and were preparing and working hard towards the commissioning of the ministry. The same time he opened my eyes to see two pipes draining coins into a bowl. The source I could not connect with it, but the flow was ceaselessly continuous. I'm enough for all the supplies that the ministry will ever need. That's what he said. Hey, your heavenly account is realer, yes, than your first bank account. The moth and the rust can tamper with that one in any of your banks here. Swiss Bank, American Bank, Barclays in London, name it anywhere, HSBC. The moth can eat it up. But there's an account in heaven that is so real. There is no economic situation on the earth that tampers with it. The law of absolute dependency on God is the commanding law in the school of supernatural supplies. That's the commanding law. Your church needed 17 million for between 2 weeks when we were building Rajoba. 17 million was needed, and we are not going to owe anybody. It was not announced to anybody, but the two pipes brought it. We needed 178 million, 2 weeks more, in building this place. Not announcing church, the two pipes brought it. Because we won't take overdraft from anybody. You don't give it. Thank you, Lord. If the roof was halfway, we would still dedicate it that day, because you told us that day. Absolute depend. Most of the time before the trouble comes, you're already shaking. You are calling everybody, please, can I get some 10 naira? My child is going to school tomorrow. Did they tell you it won't give you when it's 1 second more to the time? But you can't wait. They say, wait. And the bank say, no, I can't wait. I have to go and borrow. Excuse me. The bank was not giving my money. I have money there. Please give me something. It's just 2 minutes more to wait. It won't wait. During the construction of Covenant University, the phase four of it, we needed 365 million for 5 weeks. Not announcing church, because I'm a shepherd. I want the comfort of the flock. I would rather carry the burden than share it with you. God has enough capacity to carry any burden in the world, so why am I going to give it to a man? Throw it at God and go and sleep. I didn't carry it myself. But if I tell you, because I don't know what your capacity is, you might be shaken and say, don't you think that he needs prayer? Let's pray. Can we not push the admission, the resumption forward for about 5 more weeks? What is the amount that we get every month? You know, I don't know what your offering was last Sunday. I didn't know the one for the Sunday before. That's not my department. My department is this one I'm doing. Amen. I don't know. I can't remember what year I stepped into where they do their sorting in my life. That I say, okay, we don't know. Are you doing some counting here? I've started preparing for Shiloh since April 3rd. Shiloh 2009. That's my department. I don't know who and who are involved in sorting out the accounts as to find out how was the counting. I don't need it. You should know how it is. Man, I want to tell you something. You need to get to a point where you are thoroughly hooked to God. This is your time. Can I hear your loudest amen? Yeah. Let me hear your loudest amen. Yeah. Well, God is on the throne. And I believe the law of absolute dependency of God is one law that your family, your business, your life needs to connect with this supplies from your heavenly account, which is so real, but you have not been drawing on it. Some fellows stole money and put it in Swiss bank. And Swiss bank has a code. Nobody else can draw the money. They did this so that they can steal the money. You know what I mean? Many African leaders have accounts there. The ones in the past, the ones who are dead. The account is lost. Family can't access it. Government can't access it. Don't you see that Swiss bank has sense? Amen. Praise God. But the switch in heaven, after your time is gone, your children will be drawing from it. Then your children's children will be drawing from it. He said, the generation of the upright shall be blessed. He said, wealth and riches shall remain in his house. It's not the Swiss bank that has a switch, it's a code that you can't access. They ask each one to make a code that only them will know. May God have mercy on them. Well, to God be the praise. How many can tell me this morning that God is more than enough? How many are very confident that God is more than enough? Shout hallelujah! Shout hallelujah! Shout hallelujah! Rise to your feet, everybody. Commanding prosperity in austerity. Lift up your hands and give him thanks. Lord, I receive grace from you to maintain a higher quality covenant walk with you. In Jesus' precious name. Please get seated one moment, and I'd like to invite everyone that is out here in the service today who is not born again yet. He said, then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, and between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Malachi chapter 3 verse 17 and 18. When that time, when God's blessings is going to be finding practical expression in the life of his people, but only those who are on God's side will be partakers of it. Wherever you are this morning, you want to give your life to Jesus. There is fire on the mountain. The economic situation is going to be growing worse and worse according to the prophetic agenda for the end time. But you can take cover in the covenant by giving your life to Jesus today and become part of the people of God that will be blessed in spite of the situation. Wherever you are, please stand to your feet. I'd like to pray with you. Everyone that wants to give his or her life to Jesus, please stand to your feet. You want to be born again this morning. You want to become a child of God. You want to take cover in the covenant. Please stand to your feet wherever you are. You want to spend eternity with God in heaven. Please stand to your feet wherever you are. This is the day the Lord has made. Wherever you are, stand to your feet. And please take your Bibles and your bags and make your way towards the altar area where you'll be prayed for. Now keep coming. Jesus is Lord. Keep coming right now. Jesus is Lord. Whatever you know is making your offering unpleasant to God, rise to your feet right now and ask Jesus to forgive you. Ask him to cleanse you so that your offerings can be acceptable to God and you can live a profitable life here on earth and eternity with God in heaven. Whatever thing that is making your offering unpleasant to God, talk it over to him. The grudging that comes behind where no man knows, talk it to him and ask him to forgive you. And all the words of doubt that you speak time and again, ask him to deliver you this morning so you can maximize the benefits of the covenant in your life. Consistency is the rule of the game. Receive grace now for a consistent covenant walk. Go ahead and receive grace for a consistent covenant walk. He said, you shall reap it in due season if you faint not. Now, receive grace for a consistent covenant walk. Receive grace for a consistent covenant walk. Receive grace for a consistent covenant walk. In the precious name of Jesus Christ. In the precious name of Jesus Christ. In the precious name of Jesus Christ. Lift up those two hands. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray over these precious souls today. Let the fullness of the blessings of the gospel be the portion of every one of them. Lord, I pray that the fullness of the blessings of the covenant be the portion of everyone under this service. Everyone that is hooked online with this service, any part of the world, receive the same flow of grace in your life. Grace for a consistent covenant walk. Receive it today in the name of Jesus. Grace for a consistent covenant walk. Receive it today in the name of Jesus. Grace to give acceptably. Receive it today in the name of Jesus. Grace to give in righteousness. Receive it today in the name of Jesus. Grace to give in love. Receive it today in the name of Jesus. I pray that from this hour, never would you give any offering as a necessity anymore. I pray you will give cheerfully the remaining days of your life. I pray that you will receive grace to give honorable offerings at all times in his presence. So shall it be. And when there is a casting down, then you shall say there is a lifting up. Every work of unrighteousness that will make your offering unacceptable to God, be delivered from them in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name. If you check the book, Understanding Financial Prosperity, there are 27 chapters. Only 5 talks about giving. All the other talks about what makes giving work. That means it's not just the law that works. It is knowing what makes it work that works. I pray that in these hard times for the world, you'll be among the people who will never feel the pinch in your life. And I want us to know that righteousness is the foundation for fruitfulness, for fulfillment, for accomplishment. Grace to maintain a righteous walk with God in all your ways, in the words of your mouth, in the thoughts of your mind, in the actions that you put on. Grace to embrace God and to live a God-conscious life. Receive it today in the name of Jesus. Receive it today in the name of Jesus. Now, I said in my note, a rain of divine ideas is about falling. Next Sunday, I'll be ministering to you prophetically, launching you into that realm where divine ideas will be causing your life to blossom and flourish. I'll be launching you to that realm prophetically. I'd like you to prepare yourself for it. It is one of your covenant privileges as a covenant practitioner. He said, I will open the heaven and pour you my blessings. And they will come largely in form of ideas. For when the Holy Ghost comes, it will make you of quick understanding. And when the heavens open, it is rain that falls. And that rain is the Holy Ghost in a symbol. And when it comes, it quickens your understanding. That young man was receiving. And received everything in the service. Believe me, I want to buy that diamond tie. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. And it's not just coming from Nigeria, it's coming from your church. It's beautiful. The people will bail out Nigeria from this economic debt. They are out in this room. Amen. Can I hear your loudest amen? Amen? So next Sunday, we are waiting for the rain. We are waiting for the rain. The heavens are open. We are waiting for the rain. Choir, you did so wonderfully today. It was a beautiful, anointed presentation. Jesus is Lord. The rain is falling. You never saw my note, but I put down in my note that a rain of divine ideas is about falling. And the Lord spoke to me and said, I want it done the last Sunday of the month. And so we are going to have that prophetic encounter. It's going to be an impartation service. As the message is going on, ideas will be flowing out. All kinds of ideas will be flowing in all directions. Jesus is Lord. Anyone that came in here sick, that disease, that sickness is caused from its roots and you are free. Everyone that came in here oppressed, I command your liberty in the name of Jesus. And the week is declared for you a week of testimonies. This week is declared for you a week of testimonies. This week is declared for you a week of testimonies. So on Sunday, I'll be teaching prophetically on how God blesses, when God blesses, why God blesses. And at the end of the day, you'll be flowing in that blessing consistently. That is the word of the Lord. So get all your friends ready to be part of the service. Next Sunday is going to be an impartation service, and Jesus' name shall be glorified. You are blessed of the Lord. All the ones who don't have the idea of where their cell locations are, and who are not in anyone yet, please pick that from the ushers at the end of the service through the doors. All the women in the house, they are expected here on this side for a brief meeting before we clear out for the second service. Jesus is Lord. Is anybody blessed here today? Lift up those 2 hands and give him thanks.
If you have been blessed by this message, we encourage you to join God's fullness at Faith Tabernacle, Canaan Land, Kilometer 10, Iriroko Road every Sunday in either of the two services at 7 a.m. and 10 a.m. and every Wednesdays at the communion service from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Or you can log on to www.davidoyedepoministries.org for live webcasts. For prayers and counseling, please call 0177-47546, 0177-47547, or 0177-47548. Or you can write to PMB 21688, Ikeja, Lagos, Nigeria. You can also visit www.dominionbooksonline.com for online purchases of over 50 books of anointed materials from Bishop.